This is podtech.net. I'm Catherine Girardot at TICON 2006. We've heard a lot about innovation in this year's conference, about the crucial role innovation plays at various stages of building a company. In this podcast, you'll hear Google's VP of Search Products and UE of Product Management, Marissa Mayer.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Marissa Mayer joined Google as its first female engineer back in 1999. She, like many of the early Googlers, came from Stanford, an accomplished expert in user interface design, and was responsible for a number of the innovations that happened at Google, both in the early years and continue to this day. She leads a very large group of people involved in search innovation at Google and involved in a number of various new products that are going on, either released or to be released from Google. The most fascinating thing about Google is innovation at scale. I've never seen this in my 30-year career, where I've been through a number of companies, especially in the consumer internet, where things change so rapidly, the ground is shifting so quickly under your feet that if you're not nimble enough, you're going to be toast. And Google has been able to show that at scale. And it's largely about innovation. It's not marketing. It's not, you know, I think technology is important, but in the end, it's constantly staying ahead, not just staying ahead of the big companies, but staying ahead of the young, nimble startups that come up every day in the space. So the other little trivia about Marissa, she organizes Google Movies for 6,000-plus employees. So they do have a lot of fun doing that. And the last thing I will say is, while she's from Wisconsin, she talks really fast, so listen well. And with that, let me give you Marissa Mayer.
Hi, thanks, Rom, for the introduction, and Raj is going to set me up here. I'm really excited to be here today to talk to all of you about innovation at Google. And when people think about innovation at Google, a lot of times they'll think about the innovative products that we have, things like Google Maps or Google Desktop, Google Finance, some of these types of launches. And I think we have had a really successful culture at Google setting up for innovation. But there's some not obvious things that we've done that have made us really successful at that. And one is that we've tried to make it the case that we have innovation all throughout the company. So I have pictured here a few different places where we've innovated outside of our product lines even. The first one is a picture of the cover of our S1 for our IPO. And I think many of you are aware, Google's IPO was unlike any that Wall Street had ever seen before, for better or worse, because we tried to do an auction process. And you know, we approached it in a very different way, including publishing the founder's letter to talk about how we were going to innovate in the future. But we also joke that we even have innovation in our food, in the way we prepare food. So one of the big innovations, we have a company list called ideas@google.com, where people can mail what innovations they'd like us to see us work on next. One person mailed and said, pointed out that we have this wonderful sushi for lunch, and we have a whole sushi bar. When they box up the sushi, they would always nicely label whether or not they were vegetarian rolls or assorted rolls, tuna rolls, and they would put the sticker on the top of the box. And so one of our big innovations, because it came off of that, is that we put it now on the side of the box. And I also think that our omelet station is even interesting, because in a lot of places when you have an omelet station, you go to the chef and say, I'd like some cheese, I'd like some mushrooms and onions, more mushrooms than onions. And what we do now is we actually have an omelet bar where you can go and you can take a bowl and you put what you want in your omelet in the bowl and then give that to the chef to mix in. So we're constantly striving to see innovation all throughout the company, even outside of our core engineering and products. So Google's strategy is something we refer to as 70-20-10. You might see that and say, 70-20-10, that's just a list of numbers. How can that be a strategy? And it relates to how we allocate our engineers. And we try and put 70% of our engineering force on the core business for Google. And that core business is search and ads, which is why we have that, sort of have that at the center of the Google universe there. And then for 20% projects, we have projects that are related to search, things like Google News, Frugal, Google Local, and Google Maps. And then we take 10% of our engineering workforce and put them on really far out projects, things that are really unrelated to Google's core business, or something new and different we've never done before, like our enterprise solution, where we did our first foray into hardware, or Picasa, which organizes photos. And for a lot of companies, they really think about innovation in that outer 10%. those brand new areas and think that that's where innovation happens. And we truly try and strive to have innovation happen throughout all projects at Google. We're as likely to have innovation happen in this in the core 70% as we are, sorry, I thought I had another slide on that, in the core 70% as we are anywhere else. So we try all the time to have innovation and enhancements in our comprehensiveness. Google now has about 3 times as many pages as anyone else. In our relevance, we're constantly adding new signals to our relevance functions and equations to try and make sure that we have absolutely the best search results for people. As well as our user experience, we're constantly rolling out new tools to try and help people do a better job with search. Like we released a few just this past week, Google Trends, as well as Google Notebook and Google Co-op. How many people have tried out one of those 3 products? Do people hear about them? They're brand new. We just released them on Wednesday, and they're basically tools that help you search better. So from this, I wanted to move on to a couple of core philosophies around what we do at Google to try and foster some of this innovation throughout the whole company as opposed to just in one segmented part. And the first is that we have 20% time. And this 20% is different than the 20% I mentioned in the previous slide. The idea here is that engineers can spend 1 day a week working on whatever they want and whatever matters to them most. So these are, I have around the outside of the slide here, projects that have spun out of 20% time, like Google News and Google Scholar, like our social networking site, Orkut. But what we find is when we let people work on what they want to work on, and we give them, you know, you have very smart people with a lot of great resources and infrastructure around them, they build really interesting products. And so what we've seen here, it's interesting, I actually mapped from July 1st of last year through the end of the year, those 6 months, what products and features we launched, and how many of them stemmed from 20% time. And interestingly, because people will say, hey, you know, 20% time, aren't you just really giving away 20% of productivity? Because who knows whether or not that 20% time will be used towards things that will actually benefit the Google strategy. And interestingly enough, in the second half of 2005, we actually found that 50% of Google's products and features were things that came out of 20% time. Because we find that you take really talented engineers and turn them loose on things like that, the passion and productivity that comes back out of that really rewards you many times over. We've also striven to have small teams. And this is a picture of one of our offices and one team at Google. When I started at Google, there were about 9 engineers. And we had 3 teams of 3. And I remember we thought to ourselves, well, if we had twice as many engineers, if we had 18 engineers, the first question was, what would we do with them all? Because at the time, we didn't really foresee a lot of what we were ultimately going to do with Google. But we thought, if we had twice as many engineers, would we want to do the same things we're currently doing, i.e. take those 3 teams and make them each 3 teams of 6? Or should we actually have 6 teams each of 3, continue to have those small teams? And we made a decision that we really did want to continue to have Google evolve in such a way that it had really small teams. So we can continue to strive to keep our teams as small as 3 people. And I think that has a lot of benefits in terms of the overall innovation we see come out of Google. Because even though Google is now much larger as a company, we still see an overwhelming sense of ownership and motivation and a real entrepreneurial spirit come out of the fact that for each person, their microcosm of Google and the people they interact with and what they're working on still feels small and still has a small, scrappy startup feel to it. And then another philosophy we have is don't politic, use data. Most people who have the opportunity to come in and see a Google meeting are immediately struck by the fact that people go really deep into the data. Even on user interface work, which is where I spend a lot of my time, people say, well, isn't user interface work and design, isn't that a lot more about art than science? And even there, we continually measure almost every change we make to the interface in such a way that we can actually tell in statistically significant ways whether or not those changes were positive. So we've really striven to take even things that are more artistic and design-based and make them really scientific. So we go really deep into the data, looking at lots of charts and graphs and data. And if you listen to Eric, Larry, and Sergey, when we're in meetings, they're constantly asking to see that lowest level of data so they can understand what's going on. But this has a really interesting artifact, I think, in terms of the culture of Google. And my observation is that I think one thing that causes people to be innovative is it really builds up a meritocracy of ideas, because it ultimately leads to an environment that doesn't feel very political. Ideas don't get decided upon and moved forward because someone has a good relationship with someone else, or someone's manager likes person A better than person B. They move forward because you have the data and you have the analysis that shows that this is the best idea. And I think that ultimately makes people feel really comfortable that if they have a good idea and they can prove that with data, it will be moved forward really fairly. And I think that that is something that really fuels into the innovative culture at Google. The next thing I'd like to point out is that we strive for innovation, not instant perfection. So obviously, Google products have to be good when they go out. We like them to be differentiated. We like them to fill the core feature set of what would be expected inside of that space. But we try and not overly strive for perfection, because one of the great things about Google is that we run a service, which means each day, you know, each hour, we could make a change if we've made a mistake, which I think ultimately really frees you from the fear of, do I have to have it perfect before I can ever release it to the public? And it also allows you to get a lot of user feedback and help you identify the areas that are most important to innovate on.